I was about 27 in 1963. And I was living in upstate New York, in Ithaca, New York, which you would think in an upstate New York town there wouldn't be very many issues about segregation or black-white issues. But in fact, I was very familiar with the civil rights movement, very supportive of it. I remember I contributed to the NAACP in those days. I had gone to speeches. I remember doing sit-ins at a couple of restaurants that did not want to serve black customers. And I also had an experience about that time when I had gone down to New York City with a friend, went into a restaurant. We sat down, and they came to take our order, and I noticed that there was a mixed-race couple sitting a few tables away that hadn't been served, and I said, why don't you take their order first? They were here when we got here. And she said, no, we're not going to do that. And we got up and we left because we weren't going to allow them to serve us and not serve that interracial couple. That happened to be the same friend I went to the march on D.C. with. And she said there was a special train going from New York to D.C., and she would go with me. And I had my backpack, and it had some food in it and some water and all that, and Myrna, I'm sure, had something for herself. Got to D.C., and it was a beautiful day, sunny, and it was hot. And we all understood that you went dressed nicely to this. The men had ties on, and all the women had skirts and dresses. And I had this blue plaid skirt, I remember. And we started walking, and people were on the streets giving out leaflets and things like that everywhere you went. There was like nothing was going on in D.C. except this march. And everybody was so well-mannered, and everyone understood that this was really special, that they were taking part in something very special. And the crowds were enormous, and we were all heading down toward the Lincoln Memorial. And it was like, wow, we're really doing it. We're standing up.
He's got you and me, brother. In his hands, he's got you and me, sister. In his hands.
The thing I remember being touched by most was some of the singers, including Joan Baez, who I loved. There all day. You're on the mall. The Lincoln Memorial was quite a distance away, but there were speakers everywhere, so you could hear very well. Speeches went on and on. Looking at this album I have, the official album, and it lists 11 speeches, and then it ends up with a pledge by A. Philip Randolph. So after about 9 or 10 speeches, we said, let's stop making our way back to the train. And we got up and we left the area in front of the mall and got to the street. And there were speakers on the street, so you could hear it anyway. And that's when I Have a Dream started.
I have a dream that one day down in Alabama with its vicious racist, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification. Yes. One day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today.
And without a word to each other, we both sank to the curbside and listened. It was so compelling. The musicality of it, it was the tone, it was the repetitive framework, it was just gorgeous, and we just were so taken by it that we could not leave, we could not walk away.
And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with.
The March on Washington affected me in the sense that it reinvigorated me and it made me resolve to rededicate myself to fighting the injustices that I saw. It made me think that we had a job to do to fulfill that dream. And Dr. King, he didn't say that. It wasn't a call to action. It was a vision. And we understood that we must continue working, marching, doing whatever we had to do to fulfill that vision.
In that new Jerusalem, I'm gonna walk the streets of gold.
I think I always felt that every single individual had the personal responsibility to do it. It isn't that, well, if you can't do something big that's going to be a big change, why bother? It's like every little gesture, every little walking out of a restaurant that won't serve an interracial couple, every little refusing to let someone say something negative, you know, well, they, as if they are not us. We are us. We all are one people.